All right. If you don't already have some notes, just raise your hand. I think we can get you some. Otherwise, we can print more. We've got one. Do we have any more sheets? Now, I did try this week, as Pastor Mike suggested, putting some discussion questions on the backs of the sheets. So those are for you to do. We're not going to give you the answers to those. Those are for you to look through, to study, to seek out yourself, and try to find some answers. Now, if you do have some questions on those discussion questions, you can ask me. I'll give you hints. But enjoy those, and I hope you learn a little more from those questions. We're in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 this morning. We're going to be looking at verse 5 through chapter 2 and verse 2. And if you remember, last time we met, we studied those first four verses of John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1. And we read that the Apostle John had heard the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle John had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had touched and he had handled the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, it's like I still hear him. And it's like I touched him and I heard him and I still hear him. And I saw him and I still see him. And it's like the things that he heard and the things that he saw and the things that he touched are things that affect him even to this present writing. And if you read those first four verses like me, you're probably saying, boy, I wish that was true of me too. You know, I wish I was like the Apostle John. I wish it was like the words of Christ and the visions of Christ. And the experience of Christ was real, very real to me in my life, every moment of every day. But I have to admit, sometimes it's not. You know, but I wish it was, that I've never been the same since I met the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask the question, why is that not true? Why is it that some people don't have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it that some people don't just ooze, you know, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit? Why is that? Well, John has set us up here, as you know. Now, the authors of Scripture are very adept at that, very successful, because, of course, they write under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a great advantage, by the way, which we don't have. But also, the literary structure will tell you that they're setting us up for something. He whets our appetite for an intimate walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in verse 4, he says, "And these things we write unto you that your joy may be full." He's saying, you know, that kind of walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is a walk that produces great, great joy in the lives of those people who practice it, who walk with him. And he says in verse 5, "This is the message which we heard from him and declare to you." We're going to show you how you can have that intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and how you can be a person who just spends all this time with the Lord, all the time. So we're going to read the passage and then we're going to have a short word of prayer. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5, if you want to read along. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now I'm going to pause there for a moment and turn on the microphone. There we go. Hope you can hear me better now. Let's pray, and that's the Lord's blessing on our study. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who did everything it took to redeem us, to atone for our sins, to give us a right relationship with God. So, Lord, we know that when our relationship, when our fellowship with you is broken, it's not for anything that you've done. It's not from you taking a step back, Lord. It's us. So, Lord, forgive us for those times when we break fellowship with you. Forgive us when we sin, when we do things that displease you. And, Lord, teach us today through your word how to restore that fellowship with you, how to deal with sin in our lives. Bless our study of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we read these verses, chapter 1, verse 5, down through chapter 2 and verse 2, John is going to give us some keys to walking in the light, some of the secrets of being a person who has an intimate relationship with God. And it may surprise you. It may actually surprise you what it will take. As you read through it, you'll recognize that 9 times, the Apostle John deals with a small 3-letter word that begins with S and ends with N. Can you guess what it is? Right? 9 times the Apostle John deals with that word, sin. He deals with sin. And suddenly we recognize that if I'm going to have an intimate relationship with God, if I'm going to walk in the light as he is in the light, if I'm going to have fellowship with God, there's something about sin that has to be dealt with in our lives. So he wants us to deal with that. Now, as you read these verses, you'll notice that he often says, if we say, you read verse 6, if we say, verse 8, if we say, verse 10, if we say. But then he'll say, but if, like in verse 7, but if, but if, but if. And you've got all these ifs in there. And what he's going to do, he's going to lay out some contrasts for us. He's going to say, here's what you say. Okay, here's your talk, but here's your walk over here. And he says, If your talk is here and your walk is over here, well, then something's a little out of whack. Something's a little off with your fellowship. So he's going to deal with the walk and the talk, the walk and the talk, the walk and the talk. And he says, make sure that your walk is reflecting your talk. And there are 3 keys, he says, he's going to give us. 3 times he's going to say, if we say, and that's the clue. He's going to give us 3 keys to walking in fellowship with God. 3 spurious statements that are said, and he's going to correct those spurious statements. So 3 times he's going to say, if we say, and give us 3 keys to walking in fellowship with God. But also, these are 3 keys to dealing with sin in your life. And you really can't separate the two, because dealing with sin in your life and walking in fellowship with God kind of go together. You cannot have fellowship with God
and not deal with sin in your life. And the secrets to walking in fellowship are the same secrets that we have in dealing with sin. Now, all the way through this, I want you to imagine here. I don't want you to imagine a little kid, a little boy. He's just broken his dad's window. Okay, he knows his dad is coming home from work very soon, and his dad will not be happy. His dad told him not to bounce that ball off the side of the house, and he did. He disobeyed his dad and did it, and he broke a window. And now his dad's coming home, and he's going to have to deal with the wrong that he did. He's just broken the window. How's this little guy going to handle that? I mean, what's he going to do to deal with his sin? What's he going to do so that he can walk in fellowship again with his father? Now, keep that in mind, because as you read through that, that's who we are, right? We, as God's children, we've kind of, in a sense, broken his window, and he's coming home, right? How are we going to deal with that? Well, you notice as you read through here, the key to this is verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. None. Before he even gets to the statements and the contrasts and saying, if we say then, and our walk is like this, then, before he even gets to those contrasts and the key, three keys to walking in fellowship with God, he wants you to know, off the bat, first and foremost, that God is light. God is light. In fact, he says it the other way around as well, doesn't he? He says there is no darkness in God at all. None whatsoever. Now, the concept of light is found in almost every religion. But the concept of light, as it's found in Christianity, kind of expands it. Because it shows us that there is a seriousness to sin. And at the same time, though, it shows us that there is a solution to sin. And no other religion deals with light in that way. Now, he says, God is light. Light is the most comprehensive aspect, the most comprehensive characteristic of God. He is light. Now, we have lights on in here, right? Light dispels darkness, right? You can see. Now, when you take that into Scripture, it moves into this truth from Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So light, it not only dispels darkness, but it dispels darkness in this way. It brings truth into my life. Now I see reality. Now that I see the light, I see reality for what it really is. That's what light does. You know, if you were in the dark here this morning, I guess we'd have to pull down all the shades and turn off the lights. If you were in the dark this morning, you would not know reality here today. You might not even know who you were sitting next to if it was that dark. But because of the light, it has dispelled that darkness and it has exposed the truth. You know where you're sitting, you know the room, you know the people that are in the room, you know reality for what it really is because you have light. And when you take that into the Scriptures, and you go through the Psalms and the Proverbs, you recognize that this whole concept of light somehow has, yes, a practical sense. It dispels darkness, but it has a spiritual sense as well, in the sense that it brings truth to us. But it also has a moral sense, that when truth is brought to us, now I know how to live. Now I know how to act in my life. Because there was light in here this morning, you knew where to sit, right? And you knew where not to sit. None of you ended up sitting in someone else's lap, did you? Well, I hope not, unless it was on purpose. I don't know. Light dispels darkness. It reveals truth, and it allows you to walk in the right paths. So there's a moral dimension to God is light. In Him, in God, there's no flaw. In God, there's no secrecy. There's nothing hidden. There's no error. He's all truth. Right? He always walks in the right path. God is that. God is light. Now, understanding that, let's go to the three keys. The three keys to walking in fellowship with God. Three keys to dealing with sin in your life. And this is where your outline will start. Roman numeral number one, because number one is found in verses 6 and 7. And he basically says this about dealing with sin. Don't deny it. Don't deny your sin. Well, let's look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, now that's our claim. You know, if I asked any one of you this morning, if you have an intimate relationship with God, well, I hope that every one of us would say, yes, I have an intimate relationship with God. I have a relationship with Him. I think we would all say that. In other words, I'm walking with God. I'm walking in the light. I have communion with God. And what we're saying is we have an intimate relationship with God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, well, guess what? We lie. Right? We lie and do not practice the truth. You're deliberately lying about the truth. Now, if God is light and you're walking with God, how can you be walking in darkness? Well, that's a physical impossibility. You can't have light and darkness in the same place, right? The light will dispel the darkness. So how can you say that you're walking with God and walking in the light and still be walking in darkness? Now, anybody here this morning who says, I am sitting here in darkness is lying. Right? Because the lights are on. You're in the auditorium. There's light on in here. And if we say, I have fellowship with God, but I walk in darkness, I'm a liar. It cannot be. It's an impossibility because God is light. You understand that? There's no darkness in Him at all. There's no secrecy. There's no error. So it's incorrect, it's improper, it's wrong for any of us to ever say, I have fellowship with God, but I'm walking in darkness. The truth has not come into my life. I'm walking immorally, I'm walking impurely through life. He says, don't ever say that. If you do, you're a liar. You want to know what he's driving at here? What he's really driving at? I mean, you can think again of that little guy who's broke his dad's window. Okay, dad's coming home. He wants fellowship with dad. Right? You know what the natural tendency of a little boy would be, probably? To run off when dad comes home, to run off and go hide under his bed, or to go hide in the closet. And he says, I have fellowship with God. Well, I'm just hiding from Him. Is that the truth? Well, that's a lie. How do you handle sin? And how do you walk in fellowship with God? Well, you don't say, I have fellowship with God, and then walk in darkness. No, this is what you do. You expose it. You expose it. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You know what that little guy is supposed to do? He's supposed to walk in the light. Right? Not hiding his sin, not pretending it's not there, not standing there with his eyes closed and saying, I didn't see it anymore. He's supposed to walk out into that light, and when his dad comes home, he walks up to his dad and he lets it all out. He lets it all be exposed. He shows his father the broken window. And you say, well, I can't do that with God. You know, I could never walk up to God and say, God, here's my life. I'm going to reveal it to you. I'm going to reveal everything, my sin and all, to you, Lord. I could never do that. God wouldn't have nothing to do with me. God wouldn't want fellowship with me if I did that. If he really knew what my life was like, well, he already does, right? You just keep hiding it and keep walking in darkness. You know, I keep pretending that it's not true. But God says through the Apostle John, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. How can that possibly be? I mean, how could it possibly be that if I just expose my whole life to God, if I just expose my sin to God and say, here it is, everything about it, all the good and all the bad, how can exposure bring fellowship? Well, it's possible for you and for me to walk in the light, to just expose our whole life to God, which will bring fellowship with God, because my sin has already been taken care of through the blood of Jesus Christ. The payment has already been made. The punishment has already been taken. And he says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's already been taken care of. That's how we can have fellowship with God. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't simply allow God to overlook sin. It doesn't allow God to just put up with sin. It doesn't even allow God to just forgive sin, as great as that may be. It allows God to cleanse us, to wash us clean of all our sin, to erase it from our account. It's gone. It's not there anymore. And not only that, but to clothe us in all the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are righteous, not of our own merits, but through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And our natural tendency when we deal with sin is to hide it, to pretend it doesn't exist, to hide it from our Heavenly Father. You know, he would never want to see it. And if he did see it, he'd be mad at me, and I'd never have fellowship with him. And what John says to you and to me is the key to walking in fellowship is just to walk in the light. Let it all be exposed. The key to dealing with your sin before God is just to open it up and say, here it is, Lord. Here it is, everything. I'm not covering anything up. I want you to see what I'm really like from the inside out. And you can do that with your Heavenly Father. And if you do that with your Heavenly Father, you know what? You've taken that first step. You've taken that first step in dealing with sin in your life. And you've taken that first step in walking in an intimate relationship, an intimate fellowship with God. And if today you don't have an intimate fellowship with Him, maybe it's because you're not walking in the light. Maybe it's because you don't every morning say, God, here it is, here's my life, here's my sin. For all the ugly truth, I want you to see it, Lord. He sees it anyways, right? Maybe you're trying to walk in darkness. You understand that's just the first step. Then he moves on to verse 8. And he gives a second spurious statement. Remember, that first spurious statement was this: I have fellowship with God, but I walk in darkness. The second is this. John says it this way: if we say, so we have another if we say statement here. And he moves to a whole nother level. Right? The second key to walking in fellowship with God, the second key to dealing with sin in our life is this, Roman numeral number 2, don't deny it. Don't deny it. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, and so the second spurious claim that we might have as people is, I have no sin. I'm pure, right? It's just part of my character. You know, I'm just a good person. I have achieved sinless perfection. And so John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So first of all, we lie. Now, second of all, it gets even worse. Now we're deceiving our very selves. Now, that word deceive is interesting. It's the Greek word planao. And the Greek word planao is the word which we get our word planet from. Now, to the Greek, a planao, a planet, was not a star per se. It was a wandering star. It was a star that moved around in the sky. That's what the Greek word means. A wandering star. It just keeps moving. And hence, the word means to be self-deluded, to be always wandering, never in the right place. If we say that we have no sin, you know, I'm inherently good. There's no sin in me. We deceive, we self-delude ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, if we do that, which is the improper view of life, the improper way of handling it, we have to also understand the proper way. If we deny sin, yes, we're deceiving ourselves. So what should we do about sin then? Well, here's what we should really do about it. It's found in verse 9. And you know this verse. You've read it many times, probably many of you have it memorized even. Not only should we expose ourselves and walk in the light, but we should confess our sins. So we don't deny it, we confess it. Because he says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we don't hide our sin. We expose our sin. Now he says we don't deny our sin, we confess our sin. As you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you wonder how many times. I've wondered this. I've read in the Old Testament the story of Saul, and you wonder how many times throughout the Bible people would have been better off if they would have just said to God, I confess, I did it. You know, I just got done reading the story of Saul. Remember Saul when he sacrificed, when he wasn't supposed to sacrifice? And he was supposed to destroy this city and just destroy everything. The people, not only the people, but all the animals, the sheep, the cattle, everything. And he kept back some of that sheep and that cattle for himself, for the people. He kept some of it back when he was not supposed to do that. And so God had Samuel come to him. And Samuel comes and says, what is this? He says, I've done everything the Lord said. And Samuel says, well, what's this bleating of sheep I hear? And he denied it. He denied it. You know, we'll always wonder, I guess, what would have ever happened if Saul would have just gone to God and said, I confess, I did it, I repent. I suppose God would have forgiven him. Don't you? But he denied it. But confession, you know, is more than just admitting you did it. A lot of people will admit they did something. They're just not to blame for it, right? It was my upbringing. It was my parents. It was these people at school who told me to do it. You know, something made me do it. I'm just not to blame. So the first part is, yes, I must admit that I did it. That's A. Confession is A, B, C, D. And the letter A here is admit that I did it. I need to say to God, I did it. But that's not enough. Letter B, you must bear the guilt. You must say, not only I did it, but you must also say, I am responsible. Right? No one else is responsible for your sin. You are responsible for your sin. And even that is not enough for true confession. You need C. And C is, you need to call on God to forgive you. John says that he wants you to keep doing that. Now, you have no right to assume, well, you know, Jesus died on the cross to forgive all my sins, so I never again have to confess my sin to God. I never have to admit to him that I've sinned. You have no right to assume that God will always forgive you. John says that he wants you to keep doing that in order to walk in fellowship with him. He wants you to admit what you've done. He wants you to bear the guilt of it. He wants you to call on him, as the psalmist did, and say, God, please forgive me. Please cleanse me and do all these other things for me. And if you read Psalm 51, go back and read that this week. Psalm 51, you'll see a fourth one, a letter D. And that was that the psalmist in Psalm 51 had a desire to change. He said, God, help me. Help me to be a person who never, ever does this thing again. Until we have A, B, C, D, we've not confessed. So here's our secret. First of all, don't hide your sin. Don't hide in the darkness somewhere and hope that dad doesn't see you. You know, just walk up to your dad. And when he drives into the driveway and you say, I want to show you the window. I broke it. I'm responsible for it. You know, you told me I wasn't supposed to bounce the ball. I bounced the ball. I broke the window. I did it anyways. I was wrong. Dad, will you forgive me? And I promise, Dad, I will never do it again. I will never bounce that ball off the house again. And maybe you say, well, I could never do that with God. You know, God would be so upset with me. You know, I have to hide my sin. And John says, no. He says, no, expose it. God wants you to confess your sin. You know why? Because then he can be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll be faithful to his word, which he has promised that to us in his word, that he will forgive us when we confess our sins to him. He's promised that to us. And he can be just in doing it because his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, already paid the price for our sin. And so he says to you and to me, if you think that you're walking in fellowship with God and you're hiding your sin, then you're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. You're a planao. You're a planet. You're a wandering star. You won't stay in the right place. The key to walking in fellowship with God is to walk in the light, is to confess your sin. And then there's something else. Let's go to verse 10. Verse 10 and following, we'll read it. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So here's the third spurious claim. The first one was, I have fellowship with God, and I'm walking in darkness. The second, you don't have fellowship with God then, if you're walking in darkness. The second one is this, I have no sin in my life. Well, I deny the presence of sin in my life. It's not there. Well, you're deluding yourself. Now look in the mirror. The third spurious claim is this, I have never sinned. I have never sinned. Now, this is kind of where the rubber meets the road for you and for me. All of us, I think, are willing to say at one time or another, you know, if I walk in darkness, I'm really not walking in the light. I'm really not walking in fellowship with God. We can admit that, every one of us, right? And most of us would say, I can't deny in some sense that I'm a sinner. You know, I've done things wrong. But are we willing to say when we do wrong, I have sinned? If we say that we have not sinned, John says, and one of the ways we do that is by not dealing with sin in our lives. Because you know what is true? In the first case, in verse 6, we've lied, right? We've lied and not told the truth. In the second case, it's probably a little worse. We've deceived ourselves. We've fooled ourselves. And in the third case, it gets even worse. We make God a liar. And his truth, his word, is not in us. Because you see, everything in God's word tells us that we're the ones who are deceitful, right? We're the ones who are the liars. It tells us that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Everything in God's word tells us there's none righteous. No, not one. Everything in God's word says that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for me to live as if everything's fine, you know, I don't confess my sin on a daily basis. I don't go to people and apologize and confess my sins to other people. To them, I don't deal with my sin in any way. It's like I've never sinned. I've not sinned in my life. I've made God a liar. It's one thing to lie, right? It's another thing to deceive ourselves. It's far another thing to call God a liar. Because his word tells us that we are. So one way to deal with sin is to hide it. He says, don't do that. Expose it. Walk in the light. One way is to deny it. You know, dad comes home and you say, well, the window's broken, but I'm a good boy. I didn't do it. Must have been my little brother. Yeah, he must have done that. He says, no, you need to confess it. And the third way is to say this. You know, dad, I haven't done anything wrong. I never have. And just live like it never happened. Just pretend there's no broken window. Just ignore it, right? Just walk up to your dad and just keep talking to him like everything's fine when in a few moments you're going to realize and your dad's going to realize that everything is not fine, right? Well, what do you do about that? What's the correct way to look at it? Well, look at chapter 2 and verse 1. It says this, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. I shouldn't pretend that everything is okay. So point number 3, don't overlook it. Don't overlook it. Just walking through life like there are no broken windows, ignoring it. I should strive not to sin. I should actively work to deal with sin. So we don't overlook it, we deal with it. Deal with sin in my life and care about the sin in my life. I should cry out like the psalmist who said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." I should be the one who's not walking around like everything's fine. I should walk around like, you know, I'm a sinner, and I need my sin taken care of. And I need to strive not to sin. And John says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." And you say, "Well, I could never do that. You know, how could I ever stand before God and say, 'God, you need to take care of the sin in my life. I need your help. I need your help with the sin in my life.'" Well, you can do that. And the reason you can do that is the same reason you can expose your sin. It's the same reason you can confess your sin, because God has already made a provision for your sin. We have a great Heavenly Father who has already taken care of the broken window. So you might as well tell him. You might as well bear the guilt of it. You might as well say, "God, please help me deal with the sin in my life. I can't do it by myself." Now, there's a reason why that's all true. And it's stated in chapter 2 and the end of verse 1 here. "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." And the reason we can approach our Heavenly Father, the reason we can deal with the sin in our life, the reason we can expose it and we can confess it, and now we can deal with it, it's because, first of all, that we have been given in Jesus Christ an advocate with the Father. Now, an advocate means a lot of different things. It's a word that's translated throughout the scriptures as either beseech or rebuke or encourage or comfort. You know, one Greek word, four different English definitions. It's a word that says, "I need your help. I need help. And I need you to come next to me and help me. Come beside me and help me through this right now." Now, sometimes when you need help, you need to be rebuked. Right? Sometimes you need somebody to encourage you. Sometimes you need the help of comfort. In every case, you need someone to come next to you and help you out as you strive to deal with sin in your life. Instead of pretending there's no sin in my life, I just come face to face with God and say, "God, I need your help in dealing with this." And you know, he's already provided that advocate. He's already provided the Lord Jesus Christ for us, who will come alongside us and assist us. Now, this is the same word, this word advocate. This is the same word that's found in John's gospel when he talks about the Holy Spirit as our comforter, our paraclete. And as we know, the Holy Spirit is one who helps God in his program of convicting us of sin. And now he says, we have an advocate. We have one who comes alongside to help us and is willing to help us deal with our sin. And you know what's true about this person, this advocate? Imagine going through life or going to someone whose finances are in disarray, right? And saying, "You know what? I'm having trouble with my finances. Can you help me balance my checkbook?" Would you go to somebody like that for help with your finances? No. If you have a problem with sin, do you go to a sinner? Absolutely not. You know what we have? We have one an advocate who's come alongside of us, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the one who knows how to balance his own checkbook, right? He is the one who knows how to live righteously. He is the one who has demonstrated that he is holy and harmless and undefiled. He is the one who understands everything about righteousness. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And you can't say, well, he didn't have to go through some of the things I went through this week. Oh, no, he did. He went through what you went through, probably even greater than you went through it. He lived righteously. In fact, God says, rather than pretending everything is okay, I didn't sin, you need to say, God, I need your help in dealing with sin in my life. And he says, you've already got a provision. He's your advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who comes alongside you to help. And he is absolutely righteous. Absolutely righteous. He knows all about righteousness. He's very qualified to help you with this whole process of living righteously. So this one who is your advocate, this one who is absolutely righteous, is also the one, according to verse 2, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The one who can help you deal with your sin, the one who will come alongside you, the one who is absolutely righteous and knows the difference between right and wrong, is also the one who is the propitiation for our sins. Now, do you understand what that word means, propitiation? It means to turn away the anger of God, the wrath of an angry God. Now, he's the one who has already made payment through his blood and his death on the cross, so that the wrath of God is fully paid for, and God is satisfied. God is appeased through the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we will celebrate that after the service here. He is the one who's already made that payment. Therefore, the wrath of God, which should have been on us, which should have been directed against me, the sinner, and against you, the sinner, can be turned away from us because it's been turned on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is satisfied. And he says to you and to me, when it comes to dealing with sin in your life, walk out into the light and say, here it is. Don't hide it. Say, Father, I did it. I'm responsible for it. I need your forgiveness. And I don't ever want to do it again. And I need your help, Lord. I need your help in dealing with sin in my life. And God says to you, you know what? I've got just the solution. He says, I have my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come alongside you. He's absolutely righteous, and he's already paid all the punishment that you deserve. And he can deal with your sin, and he can help you with your sin, and he can help you to live righteously and godly. And what he's just revealed to us here is a wonderful key in walking in fellowship with God. Do you want to have fellowship with your Father? Do you want to walk in the light? Here's the key. Don't hide sin. Expose it. Don't deny sin. Confess it. Don't overlook sin. Deal with it. And God has all the provision so that he can help you. And he has all the provision that when we do that, we can walk in fellowship with him. The Bible carefully, clearly makes you aware that sin is a serious thing to God. Right? He will not let you off the hook on this one. You're not to deny it. You're not to overlook it. You're not to pretend it's okay. It's very serious to him. And yet our God who says sin is serious is also a God who says sin is solved. Sin is solved. I've already provided for it through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that which is serious to me has already been taken care of, and you can have fellowship with me. You can walk in the light. And you say, well, that might be good for other people. It might have been true for the Apostle John. It might have been true for the other apostles, but it could never be true for me. And John says, I want you to know that's true for you too. Because verse 2 says, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. That's you and me. And you are not outside the possibility of God's salvation and his sanctification in your life. There's a provision for all of us. So I trust that's true in your life. Do you walk in fellowship with God? Do you have an intimate relationship with God? If not, maybe you're hiding your sin. Maybe you're denying your sin. Maybe you're pretending it doesn't matter. God says, walk in the light. He says, confess your sin. He says, deal with it. Because he can help you.